Well, this evening we have an opportunity to hear from Jared Morrison, who will share with us his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and his sense of call to the office of ruling elder. Before Jared comes, I think it's good for us to be reminded of the process of officer nomination, training, and appointment to that office. Now, at Covenant, we periodically offer our potential officer training class about every 2 or 3 years. We just started a most recent potential officer training class with about 15 men in attendance. And in that class, we work through very extensively our confessional standards, Westminster Confession, Shorter and Larger Catechism. We talk extensively about church polity, and we read through other materials related to the office of deacon and elder. Now, any male commuting member of the church is invited to participate in that officer training class for his own edification and to test his gifts and calling to that office of deacon or elder. In our Book of Church Order, chapter 24 tells us that it is the prerogative of any commuting member of the local church to nominate men who they believe fulfill the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. And so once those men are trained, once they have opportunities to test those gifts within the local church, and once they are nominated to office, then they will be examined by the session and put before the congregation for a vote. And so in Jared's case, he completed our officer training back in 2017. He's taken several opportunities to teach in the educational hour and has received some very encouraging feedback and affirmation of teaching gifts. He has been nominated to be a ruling elder, and he is now in the process of preparing for his exam with the session, which he hopes to complete at the end of October. And when that exam is sustained, I tell Jared, when, not if, but when that exam is sustained, then 30 days notice will be given to the congregation for the congregational meeting, at which time we will vote upon Jared as a nominee for ruling elder to that office. So if you have any questions about that process, you can just ask Jared. It's part of his test to see how well he answers your question. So this evening, he simply shares with us his profession of faith in Christ and his sense of call to the office, after which time Mike Cardle will come up and offer prayer for Jared and for the other men who are currently going through the officer training class as well.
I joked with Elizabeth this week that I feel like Baptists are better prepared for testimonies than Presbyterians. I wasn't very good at this. But like any good Presbyterian, I'm going to break down my testimony into 4 points or sections: early life, adolescence, adult life, and sense of call. Acts 2:39. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The reason I read this passage is because I have the most exciting testimony there is. My grandparents went to this church. My parents go to this church. And I personally do not know a day in my life where I haven't known Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The reason I say this is the most exciting testimony is because this is all of grace. I have grown up within the covenant of grace, and I did nothing to deserve it. This, of course, isn't to say I haven't struggled with sin, as I will cover in my adolescent stage. But I am thankful for this great mercy to me that throughout my whole life, I've been able to call upon the Lord in all circumstances. Moving on to adolescence, Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Teaching moment here within my testimony for all you adolescents in the room. Nowhere in Scripture can you find that you can act like a fool from ages 10 to 18. It's a worldly idea at heart, shouldn't be tolerated within the church. The reason I bring this up is I was raised in this church. And in many ways, I was no different than most worldly young people. When I was a teenager, I thought I knew everything about the world and Christianity. I would learn about Christian liberty and thought I was smarter than my parents. I would argue with them about issues of freedom. Little did I think about how I was breaking the fifth commandment by arguing with my parents. I am thankful for God's faithfulness to me in this season of life and for the correction I received from my parents, teachers, and pastors throughout this stage of my life. One thing that always sticks out to me in this stage of life is Jeff sitting some of us guys down after youth group because, surprise, we had done something foolish. He challenged us to read through the book of Proverbs in a week and come back and discuss if what we had done was consistent with the wise person of Proverbs or the foolish. Needless to say, it was a humbling experience, and one I always can go back to when I'm being foolish nowadays. While I was very dumb as a teenager, I did mature in the faith throughout my high school years, and I am eternally grateful for our youth ministry and how it was used to help guide and instruct me through those years of my life. Finally, on to adult life. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In 2006, I married Elizabeth, which started the confusion for all new members in church trying to figure out how everyone is related. And yes, the confusion has only gotten worse since then. We have four beautiful children, Machen, Molly, Layton, and Peter. And I think adult life is where you learn the most of your own total depravity and God's grace. I remember when Elizabeth and I first got married, and people would say, "You both grew up in the church. You're both nice. Marriage will be easy." I can tell you, I've learned more of my own selfishness in my 13 years of marriage than in 22 years of being single. I never thought I had any anger issues until I had children 10 years ago. As you can see, God is exposing my sinful nature and is using these years for spiritual growth. I'm thankful that he began the good work 35 years ago of sanctifying me, and I am more thankful every day that he will bring it to completion, because daily I find new idols hidden deep in my own heart. Lastly, I come to my sense of call to be an elder. I'm not going to lie, mostly I'm relying on that external call that people have seen in me. As I read through these qualifications for elder in 1 Timothy 3:1-7, I'm still not sure how anybody sees those qualifications within me. I know my weaknesses very well, and I'm sure if you ask my close friends and family, they can tell you that I am a worrywart by nature. But as I prayed over this and thought of my internal call throughout this week, one passage kept coming to mind. 1 Peter 5:1-7. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. As I read through this passage, my internal call becomes clearer and clearer. God has given me a love for Christ Church. Not only do I love Christ Church, I have a special love for this particular church. And I do have a longing to shepherd and guard this church against false teaching and to keep the purity and peace of Covenant Presbyterian Church. I want my children and my children's children to be able to worship in this church for years to come. I'm thankful. As we see at the end of the passage, we serve a God we can cast all our anxieties upon because he cares for us. This is one of my favorite passages for the worrywart inside me. Knowing that I am weak, but we serve a sovereign God who knows us personally. Augustine has a quote where he says, "O Lord, everything good in me is due to you. The rest is my fault." This has been my prayer. And I ask that you pray this for me as I prepare to become an officer. That the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in my life, and that I will grow in holiness of life. Pray that I will give God all the glory for any fruit that is seen. And that God will continue to humble me daily to see my faults clearly, that I may mortify sin.
Jared, one of the qualifications for elder that you talked about was sober-mindedness and starting your testimony with a Baptist joke. I don't know. We may have to start. Yeah. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we come before you in great praise. Thank you for being the God that you are, who's built a church, Father, and called men to lead it. Father, thank you for your precious word where you teach us about you. And Lord, in that precious word, you teach us how to govern this wonderful body that you call your body with Christ as the head. Lord, I thank you so much for the officers of this church, the elders and the deacons. But I thank you especially, Father, for the young men of this church who are answering that call to office. And specifically and particularly tonight, Lord, I thank you for Jared. I thank you for the man that he has become and the man that he is still becoming, Father. I thank you for the joy in his heart. I thank you for his life that we see before us. And I thank you most of all, Lord, that you have called him. And it is clear to so many that you have called him and enabled him to be the man who will be a future leader of this church. Lord, I do thank you so much for Elizabeth, for just the great marriage that these two have and how they are examples for so many people. And thank you for their children. And even though they may not think that they're well-behaved, Father, many of us look at them and go, what a great family this is. And Lord, what a great attribute that is to show to others around them. Father, I thank you for Gary and Linda, who brought him up and the way he should go and encouraged him and loved him and just brought him to this night and even to the examination to come and then his ordination. But more than anything, Father, we just thank you that you're a great and wonderful God who in your decree has prepared this young man to be an elder in your church. And we just ask that you be with him, that you would encourage him, that you would love him, that you would help him remember the time that he has to give to his family in addition to the time that goes into this office. But in all things, let him glorify you, Father. And if there's ever any question, let him turn to the book and find out, am I doing the thing that glorifies and brings praise to you? And we bring these things in your name. Amen.